See all of you again, and it's good to be here another Sunday.
It is.
And I'm not going to prolong the small talk because there's a lot of things that I'm going to try to get through today.
All right.
And I don't want to spend a lot of time on just saying a lot of things that doesn't apply to the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I want you to turn with me, please, in your Bibles if you have your interlineal text. We'll be coming from that most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, your King James will suffice.
All right.
We're going to start with the scripture today, and the scripture that we're going to deal with that's going to be a part of the base, but it'll be going, as you know, we'll be going to other scriptures and many other scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the foundation scripture that we're going to be dealing with today is going to be from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 5th verse. And I would like for Deacon Gavin to read that for me, if possible.
Yes.
The 12th chapter, the 5th verse of the book of Romans,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get started. I saw Sister Harris this morning back there, and I spoke. I said, "Grace and peace, grace and peace." I said it 4 times. She didn't hear me. I said, either my voice is real low or she was so busy getting to where she was going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ready, D?
Yes.
All right.
It's 12 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
From the 12th chapter of Romans, the 5th verse, Greek interlineal text.
Yes.
Greek interlineal text. So the many, one body we are in Christ. And each one of one another members.
Thank you very much. The
Hallelujah.
The body of Christ is a fascinating study because it encompasses all parts of the church family.
Right.
It touches all of us in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
With the eternal perspective in mind,
Uh-oh.
We can gauge the love that God has for us
mm-hmm.
through the faithfulness of Christ.
Yes, sir.
In actuation, Deke, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5,
mm-hmm.
in actuation, we see that this is something that started a long time ago.
Yes, indeed.
Before the foundation of the world.
Before.
Yes.
Before.
And when we look at it from that perspective,
mm-hmm.
we can glimpse and get a little bit more insight into where we're going.
All right. Now.
Deke, go ahead.
I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. From the Greek interlineal text. As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be us holy and unblemished before him in love, predestinating us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
So we see here that this was something that took place before the foundation of the world.
Yes, sir.
And somebody have to ask you how old you are, you can say older than dirt, because that's how old you are. It's a long time. But we see also the manifestation of it taking place, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new.
Yes.
In John chapter 3 and verse 7, the King James Version tells us you must be born from above. So, eternally speaking, we can see that manifestation-wise that deals with it in John 3, 7, that we must be born again, but this is something that has taken place a long time ago.
Yes, sir, Ella.
Eternally speaking, our journey begins, and now what we have to look at here is how is it possible for the glorious body of Christ that we can't, in our physical state, begin to comprehend? How could something as wonderful as this, and then we have to look at it from the standpoint of how is it possible? What does it take to become a member of the body of Christ? We're going to deal with that specifically in just a moment. But what we have to look at from the standpoint here is that what does it take for membership into this body? Well, first of all, we have to notice that you must be a sinner. You must have all of the wickedness of every sinner in the mind and in the flesh and everything else. There are no righteous people that were called into this body.
No, no.
There were no law keepers that could keep the law or anything else. There were people that had a distinct problem. And that problem is primarily that they were all sinners.
Right, Ella.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For by one man sin entered into the world, so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So this body is encompassed with sinners, all of us the same way. That means that there are no little I's or big U's. We all come the same way because we all were the same way when God called us into the body. So therefore, we can't really point to one person, point to another, and say that I'm better than you, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, how is this possible for this body to exist? Well, first of all, it has to be by the will of God, by the plan of God, and by the purpose of God, and the faithfulness of Christ.
Yes, sir.
When we look at the scriptures here in corroboration with Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, we're going to have Ella read that in just a second. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. But I think the best scripture is Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. So I'd like for Ella to read that Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39 for corroboration's sake.
All right.
Because that's not really our gospel.
All right.
But we use other passages of scripture to corroborate with our grace gospel.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, D.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. I'm reading from Greek and Millennial.
Greek and Millennial.
All right. From the Greek and Millennial, Matthew chapter 26 and the 39th verse. And going forward a little, he fell on the face of him praying and saying, Father of me, if possible it is, let pass from me cup this. Yet not as I will, but as thou.
It is God's will and purpose. Then we go to Galatians. Read that Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Deke.
Amen. Reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 1, beginning verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God, Father of us, and Lord Jesus Christ, the one having given himself on the behalf of the sins of us, so as he might deliver us out of the age present, evil, according to the will of the God and Father of us.
So as the will of the God and Father of us, yes, is his will to deliver us.
Yes, sir.
And then the plan of God in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, I mean verse 9. And I want Deke to go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6, Greek interlinear text. To be the nations, joint heirs, and a joint body.
Hold it right there. To be the what now?
Joint. Heirs.
Heirs.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And joint body. And joint sharers of the promise in Christ Jesus.
Of the promise in Christ Jesus.
Through the gospel. Of which I became a minister. According to the gift of the grace of God.
Because of the gift of the grace of God.
Given to me according to the operation of the power of Him.
Yes. Amen. So it was God's plan to have this formulated from the foundation of the world,
yes,
that we'll be joint heirs. And so this is a plan of his.
Yes.
Now we're going to go to the purpose of God in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27.
All right. Amen. Purpose of God. Ephesians 5. 27. Hallelujah. Greek and millennial again. In order that
there is order, go ahead.
That might present he to himself.
Through himself.
Glorious the church. Not having spot. Or wrinkle. Or any of the such things.
Amen.
But in order that,
amen,
it might be holy and unblemished.
Amen. Now, just take a look there. It says there that in order that you might what? He might present.
That's right.
Amen. You're not going to present anything.
Right.
It's all the work of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. That he might, and if he does it, you will be what? Holy and what? Unblemished. Okay, so that what? Ye ought to what? Okay, there. That's it right there.
Okay.
Amen? So now we're going to go to the faithfulness of Christ. And we're going to go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. One and five. And then we're going to go to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, D, go ahead.
We got Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Again, Greek interlinear. And from Jesus Christ. The witness faithful.
Faithful. Stop right there. The faithful witness, the faithful Christ. And without the faithfulness of Christ, you wouldn't have any salvation at all. It's not your faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any should boast. You have nothing to boast about. There's nothing that you have done to get into the kingdom of God. It is all because of the faithfulness of Christ. If we could get that through our heads today. that we would take ourselves out of the equation and put God in the center of it, we would have less problems in our churches, less problems on our jobs, less problems in our life and everything. We've got to realize who is in control of this thing. We have nothing to do with this at all. It's all about the faithfulness of Christ, not your faithfulness. For you, that faith is given to you. You have no faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And I wish that we could get that across to ourselves today. Okay, go ahead. Go to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8.
13 and 8. Yay, Lordy. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation. Amen. Revelation chapter 13, 8th verse, Greek interlineal text. And will worship him all the ones dwelling on the earth, of whom has not been written the name of him in the scroll of life of the Lamb.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who got the other text, go ahead now. Go ahead.
Verse 9?
What having what? Slain when?
Oh, I'm sorry. Having been
slain
from the
foundation of the world.
The Lamb.
This salvation and this work of Christ done was done back in actuation, back before the foundation of the world. It was manifested in time and in the capsule of time. But as far as the work of Christ and the faithfulness of Christ, that was done back in eternity. And here we are right now. So when you get saved or I get saved, it's dealing with the time perspective. But eternally, it's been done way back before you even got here. Before you came into this world, you were saved. And you were saved by the grace of God. So what we have to look at here is that it's not what we've done and not what we think we've done. That doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done and the faithfulness of Christ. Then what we have to go to is Christ is the head of the body. Every body must have a head. If you took my head off of my body and left me here, I could do nothing. If you took everybody's head off here, we would have a church full of heads, but we wouldn't have any be able to function because the body cannot do anything without the head. Christ is the head of the body. And I wish the people in the body of Christ could get there through their thick heads, that he is the one who's in charge of this whole thing. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, while Deke goes there for me, please. And we're going to go to two scriptures. No, we're going to go to three because this is very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. But I want to go there to 1 Corinthians first.
All right. Yes. 1 Corinthians.
Amen.
Praise God.
1 Corinthians chapter 11,
chapter 11,
verse 3 and 4.
Beginning at the third verse, again, Greek interlineal text. Hallelujah.
Okay,
reads, "But I wish you to know that of every man the head Christ is."
Of every man, Christ is the head. And particularly, the body of Christ. Go ahead.
"And the head of a woman, the man. And the head of Christ, God. Every man praying or prophesying down over his head, having anything, down over his head, having anything, shames the head of him."
Amen. So what we have here is that Christ is the head of the body, and God, Christ, us. There must be a head. The Bible says in Scripture that he says, "Let everything be done decently and in order." God is an order God. He wants, and he does things in order. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as far as the heavens are above, so are my thoughts above yours. We can't put our mind, our puny little mind, in the mind of, say that what we think, because what we think doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean a thing. And I'm going to deal with that a little bit later. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse 18. Read deep.
I'm at Colossians chapter 1 and the 18th verse. And he is the head of the body.
And he is the head of the body.
Of the church.
Who? Amen. Yes. We got Christ, we got the under shepherd, and we got all of the other officers. But Christ is the head. Amen. Go ahead.
Who is the beginning?
Who is the beginning?
Firstborn from the dead.
Firstborn from the dead.
In order that may be in all things.
Amen.
He holding the first place.
Amen. He holds the first place. Yeah. Better read that again, D. Yeah. About that last part there. In order that he may what?
In order that may be in all things.
Amen.
He holding. First place.
Yeah. The first place. Amen. See, the Bible has the right to put all of the praise on Christ, all of the praise on God, because and none on us, because it's through Christ and through God and through Christ that everything goes. And if that's where all of the emphasis is, then that's where it should be. Amen. Now, you can have capsules of faith that God has given men where we do outstanding deeds, but it all comes from the main source, which is Christ. Amen. Okay, let's go on to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Go ahead.
Colossians 2 and 10. And ye are in him, having been filled.
Amen.
Who is the head?
Who is the head?
Of all rule and authority.
Of all rule and all authority. Not some, but all. Amen. So, I'll never forget one time when I was teaching a Bible class down on Woodward Avenue, and a lady came in and she said, "Oh, the Lord really blessed me today." Said, and she was one of these little Arabs. As a matter of fact, it was a Red Apple store down in Highland Park. And she was, "Oh, the Lord really blessed me today. I gave the man so much money. He gave me three times the money back." And God, I said, "God, honey, that wasn't God blessing you." We get these things. We take everything out of perspective. Amen. Right is right if nobody preaches it.
Right
is right if nobody lives it.
Right.
I told her what she should do is go back and give that man his money back.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So that wasn't that. We can't take things like that and appease our carnality.
Amen.
And say that it's a spiritual thing from God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, as members of the body, we are to love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Romans 3 and 8.
Uh-huh.
Corroboration for that is 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4 and verse 11. We are to share the faith. Bible says that I am not ashamed of God, for he is the, Lord, we ought to go to that. For he is the power of, but I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. To the Jew first. You ought to be able to share your faith because what Christ has done for you. You shouldn't be a milquetoast where you're going to fall down and crinkle up every time somebody talks about Christ. This glorious salvation is not for everyone. It's for the elect of the church. And you ought to be proud and be happy that you are a member of the body of Christ. You shouldn't be afraid or a wimp about sharing your faith. Then we ought to have unity of the faith. The Bible lets us know in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3, and I'm going to let Deke read that, but we ought to have unity of the faith. There shouldn't be any schisms in the body. It shouldn't be all of these different denominations that we have. But the reason why is we get off on who is head. When you get off who the head is and put yourself in, then what you're going to have is personality-driven churches. And that's what we have now. From the mega church unit, all of these different things, those are personality-driven churches. And I always look at those churches, and I always come to the conclusion, when I see what is so-and-so's ministries, your name shouldn't be on it at all. Amen. When I see that there's so-and-so's name where you send the money to, that lets me know that that's a personality-driven church and not Christ-driven. Nobody should get the glory other than Jesus Christ. I wish I had somebody praying with me today. Everybody, every time you look at these churches, they have all of the signs, wonders, and miracles, but there's one thing that always comes down to, send the money to me. If I got to send the money to you, how am I going to get a blessing from you when you weren't the cause of it all in the first place? Some of this stuff you can just use common sense on. Then, read that for me, Deke. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3.
Ephesians 3 and verse 3, Greek interlinear. Of this, by reason of I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the nations.
Okay.
Indeed,
my revelation was made to me the mystery as I previously wrote in brief. So, what we have here is that this unity is from the mystery of Christ, and that is what bringing all Gentiles into fellowship with God. No longer do we have to be on the outside looking in. No longer do we have to worship on the outside. God has made it possible for all of us, since we are fellow heirs, to all worship together. It doesn't matter whether we are bond or free. It doesn't matter whether we are black or white. It doesn't matter whether we are pygmies or Watusis. It doesn't matter. God is God, and he chooses whom he wants. And when he calls you as his elect body, elect part of his body, you ought to be so happy. Because this salvation, when he calls you in, he does it all. The DNA from the eternity part is that, and I'll deal with that in just a second here, but he does everything for us. That we don't have to worry about anything. The flesh makes us worry. But the spiritual part and the spiritual application, as far as God is concerned, it's all been done. Amen? Then he asked of us, we have to, one little sacrifice that he asked us to do, and we have praise. Go to me, Deke, to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. See, it's hard for this flesh to give praise to anybody but itself. You don't hear me. It's hard for us to acknowledge what, you see, what we like to do is we like to think that when God blesses us with a beautiful home or he gives us a nice job and beautiful clothes and beautiful things in our lives and no sickness and everything, we think that we got an ace on God where we can call the shots and everything. But the fact of the matter is, and then, instead of giving God the praise, we give him the boast to all of the members of the church about what God has done for me and boastful and everything like that. But God wants us to give him the praise. He is the one that gets the praise because he is the one who's responsible for everything in your life. And if you've been blessed by God, you ought to not worry about whether you ought to be glad to give him the praise. Don't be stingy with your lips. Don't be so stingy and tight with your lips.
Hallelujah.
A lot of times we do a whole lot of talking about everything but God, of what he's done for us. And God, He deserves the praise.
He deserves all the praise.
He's the one who should get the praise, mm-hmm. not us. Read that, Deke, chapter 13, verse 15.
Hebrews chapter 13, the 15th verse, again, Greek and linear. Through Him, therefore,
through Him,
let us offer up a sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
Always to God.
Amen.
This is fruit of lips.
Amen.
Confessing to the name of Him.
That's the praise that we ought to give Him. That's the sacrifice that we ought to give Him.
Yes,
and when I first came to this church, and everybody would say, and I've known George for, 31, 32, 33 years, something like that. And I come to this church, and everybody said, grace and peace, grace and peace. And I had been in so many churches where people said, well, I'm not going to say what they said, but it wasn't grace and peace, that's for sure. So when people say grace and peace, I said, oh man. And then one time I said, gosh, does everybody say grace and peace here? And everybody did say grace and peace. And you know something, once I got used to that, now I said grace and peace.
Amen.
And that really makes me feel good.
Yeah.
You see how what you do can have an effect on somebody else?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
If we could get that through our head of how we are, could be through Christ, mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ mm-hmm. who strengthens me
mm-hmm.
and go into the world and have the desire of Christ in our lives to touch folks around us
mm-hmm.
so that you could leave an imprint on folks.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I my wife and I went to my neighbor's funeral yesterday. And let me say this, that I've met a lot of people in my time. And stayed down the street from me. The first time I moved to that place, our kids used to go to school together. And he picked up my daughter, my oldest daughter, Shabby, for me. And I didn't know where she was. And so I was looking all in the block there, trying to find out where Shabby was.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw him down the street, and I saw Shabby. And I went down there, and he took her home, and he took care of her with her daughter, with his daughter. And he gave him some milk and cookies and everything. And he was very nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to know that man, and the church was at the Berea Lutheran Church, but that man really exuded Christ. He
mm-hmm.
was always the happiest and nicest person. When you see him, he was always the same.
Mm-hmm.
And when everybody got there had the same thing to say about Cliff Hatcher. They just kept saying, and I said, and Cliff was no Bible scholar,
mm-hmm.
Anything like, but he
mm-hmm.
loved the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and he just really showed it,
mm-hmm.
and every time you saw Cliff, he always had something positive to say.
Mm-hmm.
I was just loved to be around him,
amen.
And I would go up sometime and just sit down
amen.
And talk to him,
yeah.
And he was about 10 years older than I, but I would sit down and talk to him, and we would just have those long talks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we would talk about our families, our careers and everything. But he was such a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, would to God that people would have that kind of effect on folks. That
mm-hmm.
church was so packed with people.
Mm-hmm.
I said to my wife when I left there, that man left an impact on
mm-hmm.
people.
Come on,
I said, we should, that's what Christianity is about.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You see some people, they're so moody and so mean and ugly
mm-hmm.
and everything, but that's not what Christianity is about.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
So he said, so
hallelujah.
That we ought to be able to give
yes.
the praise of our lips.
Yes.
And then we ought to be able to worship God
yes.
spiritually.
Yes.
It's not about all of this things about how much you've got to show somebody else and
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be a spiritual relationship with Christ.
Yes.
Where have we gone to? Now you got to, if I don't have a Mercedes and you got a Escalade or if I'm not in, if my church doesn't cost $42 million and yours only costs this, well, you're not really, really kicking it like I am.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the spiritual part that Christ wants.
Right.
Read that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 for me, please. Chapter 3 and verse 3.
Amen.
Philippians.
3 and 3.
Bring it out, Ellen. Bring it out. Amen. Hallelujah.
Sometimes I get kind of diverted, but I feel so, that really did touch me yesterday.
All right. That's it.
Oh, have mercy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let me find it here. Okay.
Philippians 3 and 3, Ellen.
Yeah, okay. 3 and 3.
Philippians chapter 3 and the third verse, Greek and Hellenic text. For we are the circumcision, the ones by the Spirit of God.
There you go, the Spirit of God.
Worshiping and boasting in Christ Jesus.
Worshiping and boasting in Christ. If you're going to boast about anything, boast about Jesus.
Jesus.
If you're going to be a fool for anything, be a fool for Christ.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
And not boasting in Christ Jesus and not in the flesh trusting.
Amen. Don't put all of this confidence in the flesh, because in the flesh there's no good thing.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There's no clean thing. Give no occasion to the flesh. Because it's a wicked part of you. And that flesh has not been born again. And every time you want to try to do good, evil is right there by you. Crucified. Put it down. And the way you do it is get into the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's not in our, that's a corroboration scripture. But in John 15:3, and therefore another corroboration says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Amen. It's the word that cleans you up. Then down to our own gospel, study to show thyself an approved workman of God, rightly dividing the word. And in the Greek that says, cutting it straight. Amen. So we see here that that's what it's about. We should do all of these things. And it seems like if we have that DNA from eternity, we should be able to do all of these things. But you know something? We're not going to do it. That's why God had to give us, we're going to go now to Ephesians chapter 11 and verse 12. And I'll show you right now why he gave us these things. Go ahead, Deke. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Very familiar passage of scripture.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Greek interlinear text. And he gave some apostles.
He gave some apostles. Go ahead.
Some prophets.
Some prophets.
Some evangelists.
Some evangelists.
Some shepherds and
In the Greek, it's shepherds. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. For the perfecting of the saints.
For the perfecting of the saints.
To the work of ministry.
The work of ministry.
To building of the body of Christ.
To the building of the body of Christ. In other words, the things that I said to you before, we should do them, but we're not going to do them. So that's why you got to have what? All of what? The things, the apostles, the prophets, and what? The evangelists and the shepherds, what? And teachers. Why? To try to get us, to show us what he's saying, because without somebody showing us from the word, we're not going to do it.
Crazy.
That's like having a class, elegant, understand what I'm saying, and anybody in the education says, you come into a room and you say, well, your assignment, and you put it on the board what it is, and then you leave out, and you come back, and Ella can tell me, that assignment's not going to be done, but by a few folks. Sister, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? My wife's a teacher for 33 years. You know that. So you got to have the teacher there to go over the rudiments of what you're doing in order that they might get it.
That's it.
If you don't have that there, you're not going to do it at all. That's why you have to have teachers in the church. That's why you got to have shepherds or under shepherds. Those folks are not going to do unless somebody tells them from God. Am I find the right church today.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12.
Hallelujah.
So he says, for the perfecting of the church.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
For the work of the ministry. And I wish we could get that through our thick heads. We all are ministers. It's no big eyes and no little U's. Amen. You ought to be glad to be on the program. Amen. That he called you to be in the ministry of what you're doing. Amen. You shouldn't be getting the big head about anything. Because it's all of God. Amen. Now, we're going to go to verse 13 here. Oh boy. See what we can get done here.
All right.
Okay. 13. It says 13, Ephesians 4:13.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:13, again, Greek interlinear text. Until we arrive.
Stop right there. Until we arrive. You don't hear me.
All right, Don.
Some of us in church for years and ages and never arrived. And you think about the forbearing of Christ and the patience of Christ with us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are here and we never grow any more than a millimeter of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
And never go any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Until we arrive all.
All. That's going to be a long time because we're still arguing about tongues. We're still arguing about baptism. We're still arguing about church membership.
Mm-hmm.
We're arguing about everything but Christ. You never see a church split over Christ. It's all about something that has nothing to do with Christ.
Right.
That's it. Amen. Yes.
When is the last time you saw a church divide over Christ?
Never.
Never. But you got to be baptized this way. You got to speak in tongues that way.
Yes.
And this synergistic mess, it makes me in deep knows how I hate it. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. How do you think that you have something to do with so divine a salvation? Where God takes you from depravity to divine, that you got something to do with it.
Right.
You don't have anything to do with it at all.
Yes, indeed. That is so true.
Till we all arrive.
Till we all arrive.
That's a message in itself.
It is.
It's going to be a long time. Okay. Go ahead.
Until we arrive all at the unity of the faith. And
at the unity of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I just want to ask you, how long do you think it'll take for us to get to the unity of the faith? Not in my lifetime.
No.
And I'm on the last third of it now.
Yeah.
It didn't come before, it didn't come in the middle, and it's not going to come, you know, we have to look at it, just be honest. That's why I like the word, it hits us just where we are. We don't like it, but it hits us just right where, right in the solar plexus. Takes all of the breath out of you, and it ought to. Go ahead.
Oh, Jesus. Verse 13.
Going to 13, finish it
until up. We arrive all at the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God.
Oh my God.
God.
I got to jump ahead here, but just say something here. Okay, if we could spend our time on the Asians.
Amen.
And that would give us a measure of the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
Glorification.
Mm-hmm.
Propitiation. Justification.
Yes,
righteousness.
Righteousness.
Consecration.
Yes.
We spent time on that. We wouldn't have any time for this garbage that we're talking spending. Do you know that we've gotten away from, you know what, to be honest with you, you look at that, and I tell George, what's one thing, I love my pastor, God knows I do, but I chide him, I chide him on that, and he knows I do. I say, he looked at that word network. I said, man, you looking at that mess. And that's what I tell him. I said, a friend can tell a friend that. You know, I see you looking at that mess. And I said, that is garbage. That is gutter religion. Because they've taken Christ out of it. Somebody needs to stand up for something that's right. That's nothing but gutter religion. Just like the Jews went away from doing what they were supposed to do and made it a gutter religion. And that was one time Farrakhan was right. And it's a gutter religion right now. Christianity has been reduced down to size of a church and the kind of car you got and what you can demand from God. You might not want to hear, but it's true. Amen. Verse 14.
Greek and millennial. In order that no more we may be infants. Being
in the King James, we said children.
Mm-hmm.
But the Greek says here, infants. Go ahead.
Being blown. And being carried round.
By
every wind of teaching.
Every wind of what?
Teaching.
Amen.
In the sleight of men. In cleverness. Unto the craftiness.
These guys, you see these guys, they are so smooth and with their vocabulary and everything, and they have $1,000 suit on, and they very glib and everything, and you listen to them and say, well, whatever he's doing, it must be right. And you know what? People follow behind and just take, and he just takes you and put a thing through your nose and just drag you right along, and you just as happy. He puts you under law, and he says it's under grace. He puts you under this, but it's of that. He puts you under this, and it's of that. And you just as happy, and the more he says give, you'll reach in and give it to him. And say, the Lord has praised me for what, and take everything out of context. Take everything out of historical. Take it all out. And then you know something? We're just as happy as we can be. Folks like to be under some kind of domination, and they don't want to be under grace. But we got to give grace whether they like it or not. Because grace is what it is. And grace is going to be grace whether you like it or whether you practice it or not.
Go ahead. Amen. Of teaching in the sleight of men, in cleverness unto the craftiness of error.
You see, I'm not going to deal with it, but I just said it. Go ahead.
But speaking truth in love may grow into him in all respects.
When you speak truth in love, love promotes growth, and you grow in all respects. That was what impressed me about the funeral yesterday. I see somebody. I want to see people grow, not just small wise, but exponentially grow and grow. And I tell anybody, I'm a work in progress. I have not arrived there yet, but I'm a work in progress.
Yes,
but I thank God I'm not where I want to be. I know it's old what people say, but I'm not, thank God, what I used to be. And I'm trying my best. I want to grow. I want to be the best that God wants me to be. I want him to be the power in my life. I want folks to see Christ in me. I don't want people to see me, because if you look at me, I'm a failure. All you got to do is ask my wife that. I failed her many times. But you know something? When I see Jesus... If you see Jesus in me, that's what I want you to see. I want to be, that's what I'm striving. I want to go to. I don't have much time left on this planet. But would to God people could see and say something about me that's positive. I don't want somebody to come and just, they come and say they want to see me, and then they have a knife and I'm sitting there in the casket and they have a knife down in my chest. I want people to come and say, well, he was a pretty good old guy. Amen. Not me, but Christ in me. It brings tears to my eyes when I see people how they flaunt the love of Jesus Christ. Such a cavalier style.
Yeah. Amen.
But Christ has been good to you.
Yes.
And you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be glad that God has done what he's done for you. Because it's not you. It's all about Christ. And since we are dealing with that enclave that God gave us to deal with time, I'm going to have to move on. I can't go over a lot of things that I want to go over. I got to move on. Because time is coming. But I'd like to give you a few parting shots. And that is that, do you know who you are? If you knew who you were, you wouldn't act the way you are.
Wow.
Problem is, most Christians don't really realize who they are.
That's so true.
That God called them from depravity.
Yes, yes, yes.
To bring them into a divine relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
We're not those people that's going to be in the last chapter of Revelation.
No, we're not.
Where we're going to be getting our sustenance from trees 12 months of the year. We're not going to be on a cloud strumming a harp and talking about the glorious or the days, the infamous days on earth. But we're going to be with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Because he is our head.
Yes, he is.
And we're his body.
We are his body.
He's going to let us judge angels.
That's right.
And wherever God goes, that's where we're going.
Absolutely.
You don't hear me. You don't hear me. Wherever God is, that's where I'm going to be. So you see, all of this stuff down here doesn't mean a thing. Because it's all going to go away after a while. Everything is leaving. When I think about what Jesus has done for me, that's what makes me happy. And I'll leave here one day, but you don't have to cry for me. Because I'm going to a better place.
Amen.
I know in whom I have believed, and I am confident he has delivered me against that day.
Yes, Lord.
So no matter what you think about me, I know what God thinks of me.
Yes,
and I know what he's done for me.
Yes.
The Bible tells us to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. These things down here, every one of them is going to perish.
Everyone.
Everything down here is going to leave one day. Because it is all temporary. But the love of God and eternity is forever. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I hate to see me leave my kids and my grandkids and my wife and all of them. But every so-called good thing down here must come to an end.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to a better place. And you ought to be happy that you're going to a better place. You ought to be rejoicing in your tribulations. You ought to be happy for the fact that God has called you to something better than this. And no matter what, how hard it gets, I'm glad that I've got Jesus.
Come on, say that.
And I'm glad that you ought to be thankful like I am too. Because it's all going to leave one day. That's my parting shot with you. I want you to think about who you are and what you mean to Christ because he gave all for you.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Glory.